Hello, this is OmniTalk Retail. I'm Chris Walton.
And I'm Ann Mazinga.
And we are coming to you from the Vusion Group booth at the World Retail Conference, booth number one, and in the networking area,
yes.
Right? Booth number one. Thanks to the Vusion Group for partnering with us on all our coverage from today's show. All right, now standing between us, Ann, is Fahed Ghanem. Right? I got that right? Ooh, okay. He is the CEO of Majid Al Futtaim Lifestyle as well. So he's a man that's going to talk to us about how he brings fashion brands into the Middle Eastern region. So I'm excited to talk to you. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I'm excited to tell you all about the Middle East.
Yes, can't wait.
Tell us how you got into this. I mean, was this a family thing? Like, how did you get into lifestyle centers?
Complete coincidence. So, you know, I was doing my MBA in Paris.
Okay.
And then my career advisor told me, what is it that you hate about your job? And I gave him all the reasons. And then he asked me, what are you applying? And I gave him the usual suspects. From an MBA, you go to, you know, consulting, PwC, McKinsey. But it was absolutely everything I hated. And he said, what do you love?
Sounds like my trajectory.
Retail. And he said, well, why don't you apply there? Yeah. It's like, you know, aha.
Did you love retail at that point? You did? You knew you loved it?
I loved dealing with customers. I liked luxury.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And, you know, so I was always curious to interact with people and be in the service industry.
Okay.
You know, it was aspirational. I was 25.
Yeah.
I applied and I got my first job with Bulgari. So.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Burberry.
It does happen very fast.
Yeah.
If you know what you want. And it's something I talk a lot to my team about is, don't be afraid to dream, mm-hmm. and dream big.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're wasting your time. And I have to say, most of the dreams I had come through. And that's another thing I talk to my team in retail is dream big.
Yes.
Yeah. So nothing to lose.
So you were kind of a fashionista then, heading in school, in business school. Were you kind of into the fashion scene then at that point in time? Or?
Well, I had my style.
Yeah? Okay. All right. Yeah. Especially linking up with Burberry. Yes. So, well, let's get to
it. Bulgari.
Oh, Bulgari. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yes. I missed that. Yes. Sorry. It's so
but
loud
I had the
in
Burberry
here.
Scarf too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice. Yes. Nice. Nice. All right. So let's talk about it. Let's get to the, like, as I said in the intro. So how do you go about deciding what brands to bring to the Middle East? Like, how do you do that?
Well, we've learned that, you know, great retail is global, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
and as customers, when we travel to different markets, that's the first thing we do. We go to the market, we see what's new, a different product, a different experience. And then when we go back home, we miss having more of it mm-hmm. or sharing it. And, you know, that's when a lot of brands started going international.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as a group, we own more than 29 shopping malls. And we want to make sure that our assets are enticing and interesting for both people living in our markets, but also for tourists.
Mm-hmm.
So we look for the greatest, we look for iconic brands, and we look for disruptive brands to bring mm-hmm. that newness. So that's the first thing that we look at. You know,
okay.
Is a brand relevant? Is it still demanding relevance? Is mm-hmm. it cool enough? Does it excite customers?
Yeah.
And then if yes, we'll bring it into market. And a lot of the times, you'll be surprised. I would have somebody coming to me saying, why don't you get this cool brand from Vegas? Or, you know, we just got a brand called Psycho Bunny.
Psycho Bunny, yeah, heard about that.
And that was a local guy in my company. He said, listen, we're going to LA and we're coming with bags of Psycho Bunny. Can you get it? It's like, I haven't heard of it, you know. Rightfully
I'll
so.
Look into it.
Right.
I'll look into it. Yeah. And, you know, 1 year on, we opened the first store and it's doing phenomenally well.
What are some of the other brands that you brought
Dealmaker
over?
Here,
like, I feel like we know a lot of popular U.S. brands that have had success with international expansion. But what are some of the brands that have really resonated with the places that you're bringing in the Middle East, these brands?
So we have from the U.S. Abercrombie & Fitch and Hollister brands
okay.
mm-hmm. That do very well for us
do
in
they?
Our market. Yes, they do. And, you know, we've also worked with the brand to adapt to the market as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in Ramadan, we launched the first ever global, capsule where they modified the logo in Arabic. So that was the first iteration,
oh, wow.
catering to the consumers, and you know, it was such a cool hit.
Yeah.
You know, products flew off the shelves. Mm-hmm. So you still maintain the right experience. You still feel you're in a ENF store, but you're able to get something from the region.
It's uh-huh. more localized.
And, you know, if you're an American being in
yeah,
Dubai,
tourist,
that's a nice
cool.
thing
yeah.
to take back as well
right.
to your own market.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. if it has, you know, the, yeah. the nice calligraphy and
right.
different language.
Right.
Helps you look a little bit different back home, you
yeah.
know, which is important for fashion.
And a lot of our customers are trying to, you know, look a bit different. So especially with the, you know, Gen Zs and millennials, mm-hmm. it's all about that expression.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So how do I look a little bit different? How can I express myself? And then, you know, be cool.
Yeah.
But be myself.
Right, right.
And, you know, that's something always exciting in retail.
Yeah, especially with travel being so important to that generation, too, and really getting out and experiencing new cultures and new cities, too.
Yeah. So one of the things we always talk about, too, is that there's this concept of experiential retail. And honestly, we would say that that word sometimes gets thrown around too much. How do you think about experiential retail in trying to bring these brands to the Middle East and in the stores and malls you operate? Like, how do you think about that? Because there's a balance. You could probably spin that too far if you're not careful. Yes. How do you think about that?
So we say bad retail is dead.
Bad retail is dead. Okay, that's
good.
Because,
you know, everybody was yeah. talking about bricks and mortar.
Yeah.
Is it
yeah.
the doom?
Right.
Will the online take over?
Right.
Yes, it will kill bad bricks and mortar.
Mm-hmm.
But bricks and mortar is here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about all about transforming your stores into those experiential, engaging locations. And, you know, I'll give you a couple of examples. So with Lego stores, and I know you've met the team from Lego, we
yes.
launched their Stores of the Future.
Okay.
So you can come in and personalize your own minifigure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you
yes.
know, that's a nice experience to have with your, you know, with your daughter, with your son, with your loved one.
Mm-hmm.
We engage in with meaningful conversations. During COVID, we were able to connect with our customers and deliver boxes to their homes. And what a relief it was, because mm-hmm. you know, they were stuck with kids on
right.
their iPads for days on end. Mm-hmm. And you're just giving them this box, which is meaningful, and then, you know, they can have quality time.
Right.
It makes sense. So mm-hmm. your retail has to deliver a bigger purpose beyond product.
Mm-hmm.
And the second example is Lululemon. And, you know, Lululemon does great in our region.
Yeah.
We're lucky to have the brand.
Yeah.
Predominantly because, one, there is common values between our group and Lululemon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all strive, you know. And I have to say, consumers today are, you know, are very smart.
Yes.
So you cannot just, you know, put those big taglines. It has to be authentic,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
you know, because they can see through everything you say.
Right.
So bringing that authenticity in communication with the customer really engages our crowd. So we go beyond store. We call it beyond transaction.
Okay, okay.
So, you know, you can definitely come to the store early morning and have a yoga session.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also go out of the store to build communities. We build run clubs. We do mm-hmm. yoga sessions. We do educational sessions on wellness.
Mm-hmm.
And actually even work with ambassadors from the region.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was given the example earlier today of, you know, we got one of our ambassadors to set up a run club in Saudi.
Okay.
And then with her, we organized a run club in one of the towers in Riyadh. And she said, well, I would never get access because security always,
yeah.
you know, can't go run up the stairs.
Right,
and, you know,
right.
You know, that was a dream for her. We made it happen. We made it happen with a big bunch of groups.
Mm-hmm.
So we're an enabler. We work with the community.
Right.
And, you know, we really enjoy what we do
yeah.
as we develop the brands in the markets.
How do you measure and monitor the effectiveness of what you choose to do experientially? Because, like, you know, there's always the stories of, like, the really expensive art installations or, you know, the big overt architectural gestures that you can put into a store. How do you measure and define what's working and what's not working when it comes to experiential retailing?
So this is very good. We actually have a concept store.
Okay.
And, you know, it was very experiential. You can, you know, it was about product, services, and experiences. You can
okay.
have your haircut, you do your manicure, pedicure. There was a gym in place and an F&B concept,
yeah.
along with the highly curated product.
Mm-hmm.
But we over-indexed on experience.
You did.
And, you know, a lot of concept stores did not survive because sometimes get too excited, over-index.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're dreamers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the curators are, you know, really great bunch of retailers, but they don't look at the monetary part.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's very important to ensure you have the right balance,
mm-hmm.
to ensure sustainability and continuity.
Right.
Which will be appreciated.
So the economic model of the build has to work.
In the medium term,
yeah.
have, you don't,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily year one.
Term. Right,
so
right.
So we right-sized the experiences. We'd not kill it.
Yeah.
But my hair salon was oversized. And you know, I was not making money there.
Yeah.
And you know, I couldn't have space for product.
Right.
So you have to right-size. Keep in mind what you want to deliver.
Yeah.
And you know, listen to the customer. So whatever did not resonate, we killed it. So you have to measure.
Yep.
And then iterate, continuously iterate and innovate.
How do you advise brands that are thinking about coming to the Middle East to really maintain the authenticity that you talk about, to really have success when they're moving into a new market? What would you tell them to be thinking about as they're considering that strategy?
Well, first of all, find the right partner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a marriage. You want to find the right partner with the right values.
Mm-hmm.
There's no good and bad partners. Mm-hmm. There are just partners that sync. And we say a lot to brands, you know, because our agendas don't mean that, doesn't mean that we're better or they're. So you need to find that right vision.
Yes.
And, you know, we enjoyed that relationship with Lululemon, with mm-hmm. Abercrombie, Crate & Barrel in home.
Yeah.
You know, we've just expanded in new stores in Saudi as well. But it comes from that joint values and understanding and commonality. So finding the choice of partner, take your time.
Yes.
Visit them in their home.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like, you know, when you
right.
when you have a boyfriend, you want to meet their family. So, you know, it's not the facade.
Yes.
Meet the family. So, you know, the extended family.
Yes, you're marrying the whole family, right?
Yeah,
that's
well,
right. You are. You're marrying the whole
mother
family.
Mother will influence
yes.
the relationship.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking
Can't
about.
Can't understate that enough.
Well,
yes.
Fahad, to that end, though, I mean, are you doing anything as the owner of the centers to kind of help them like come into that family?
Yes.
Like, are there digital properties you have in place, or like, you know, things that you're doing throughout the center that kind of unite those brands under
we definitely connect a lot of people. So, you know, even in conferences like this, we're able to engage and share experiences.
Okay.
But what I insist is I invite a lot of participants to visit us in market.
Okay.
Right.
Because seeing is believing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So again, it goes back to fundamentals.
Yeah.
You know, there's no magic. You know, mm-hmm. our success is always based on, you know, simple fundamentals. Seeing is believing is one of them.
Right.
Don't assume. You know, it's it's all the basics.
Right. So let's get you out of here on this. So, you know, we're OmniTalk. So we're always talking about the future of omnichannel retailing,
yes.
the blending of the physical, digital, and human elements of retail experiences. How do you think of that concept in your work, and how do you try to bring it about?
Well, Omni was very important to our business. So we had to pivot our business. We were pure bricks and mortar.
Okay.
5 years ago. Today we have more than 22 websites.
Okay.
Oh, wow. And 5 years ago, you're pure bricks and mortar. Okay. Wow.
And, you know, and led by great women in retail, I have to say. So we over-index on women in my digital team, which is something we're proud of.
Yes.
But what they've managed to deliver is a seamless experience between our online and offline, mm-hmm. where you can go to the stores, learn a bit about the product, go back home, browse more, get more information, understand the pricing, maybe grab a promotion if there's something that you want to be
okay.
opportunistic about, and then decide where you want to transact. So that, you know, seamless flow between both online and offline
mm-hmm.
becomes really critical in terms of allowing the customer the choice and the flexibility to learn,
right,
touch and feel, or transact at their convenience.
Right, and have the same experience across.
Same experience, seamless experience.
Mm-hmm.
We do same day delivery, customers love that. But you also, we have some high involvement products. So if you see the product, you go home and, you know,
right.
you're sharing with the family, you just open the laptop.
Right.
And then you see other options. It's good to compare.
Mm-hmm.
And then decide if you're ready,
right.
you can close the transaction online,
right.
get the delivery, same day or next day if you're ordering late at night,
yeah,
or go back to the store,
right?
Yeah.
But Omni is critical. It's if you don't have it, and this is where we negotiated the rights to make sure we represent the brands both online and offline,
mm-hmm.
so there is no breakup of the experience. If you buy online and you want to return it in store, I will still take your product and give you that experience.
Right.
And that was very important to maintain.
That's so fascinating that that all has come about in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. Like that really didn't exist prior to that. And you've seen the value of investing in that in across the board.
And I have to say it's profitable.
Yeah, really? Okay. Yeah,
on its own, does money, and it's...
Right.
Once you have the right P&L understanding mm-hmm. and the right drivers, mm-hmm. everything being centered around the mm-hmm. customer, mm-hmm. but then also making sense, that unlocks more investors from your shareholders to be able to do more. So, they were very worried when we launched the first two.
Right.
But when they saw the money, that builds trust.
Yeah. Right.
And then, of course, customers reward us with their money, both online and offline, and that kind of opens up.
You have to build that
growth.
Flywheel so that you can keep.
You have to maintain a balance.
Which really, at the end of the day, starts with the right physical retail concepts.
Yes.
If you don't have those, you can't get the model to work, right? Like it's just not going to happen.
So they feed over each other.
Yes.
In
yes.
every market that we've opened online, our physical store did better.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In every market where we had a physical store, our online also did better. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So they kind of definitely grow together. They're like complementary.
Right.
I don't see the threat of online. I feel that they're really complementing, necessary, and important to make sure you deliver the right services.
Yeah, without a doubt.
We agree, and that's why we do what we do. So, thank you so much. Thanks for joining us. I mean, this was kind of a last-minute thing we put together today, and so it's great to meet you. We really appreciate you stopping by. Again, this is Fahed Ghanem.
Absolutely.
The CEO of Majid Al-Futtaim Lifestyle as well.
Without any help, you did fantastic.
Good job, Chris.
I was trying for it. I wanted to get it better the second time than I did the first time. So hopefully I did all right. But again, thank you so much for spending time with us, giving us your time at the World Retail Conference.
Well, thank you for having me. And I invite everybody to visit us in Dubai and to Majid Al-Futtaim.
Yes. We'll do that.
Yeah, we got to do that too, Ed, for sure. Yes.
We'll take you to a ski slope. We'll show you the
penguins. Right?
It'll be an experience
that
like no other.
That's what I had in my mind was a ski slope. We were talking about experiences.
We'll have a blast.
Yeah. And thanks to Fusion Group as well for sponsoring our work here at the conference. And as always, Anne.
Be careful out there.